Christmas. You know that Christmas is a pastor's worst nightmare, right? Because it happens every year. And it's like, what do you say? What do you do? Actually, we don't usually have, it's usually all kids stuff today, but today I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a couple things with you before the kids come out, so this will be pretty brief, which should make you happy. Where did I put this? There we go. I was reading through the Christmas story again out of Luke chapter 2, and all of you know it pretty well. The pressure was coming down on the people in Israel and from the Roman leaders, and the leader was trying to create a situation that would again put oppression onto the people of God. And in the midst of that whole thing, God begins to do some pretty powerful things. And I was reading through this section in the Passion Translation. I just wanted to read from verse 8 through verse 12 to you, because it kind of frames up where my heart's at tonight. Dan, you did an amazing job leading worship. Thank you so much. What sensitivity. And everything that you sang today, including the Christmas songs, is about what I'm about to share. So, verse 8, that night, in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them. Just an angel. Lighting up the field with blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. It always gets me when people say, I saw angels around the room. And I'm like, really? What are we all doing just playing in church then? Do you think that would really impact us, really change us, if the angels were, you know, in force here? But this angel terrified the shepherds. But the angel reassured them, saying, don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. Isn't that cool? A rescuer was born for you. He's the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. This is going to be the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a feeding trough. That baby in the manger that we're reading about here, that baby in the manger, that was God. That wasn't a baby, that was God in the manger. That was God come down to be with us, God in that manger. Christmas is not about our Savior's infancy. It's about, really about his deity. It's about who he is, the God that he is. The humble birth of Jesus was never intended to conceal a reality of God. It wasn't a baby. It wasn't God hidden in the form of a baby. It was God from the very beginning. In fact, it was God when Mary conceived that child and things started stirring in her too. One passage penned by the Apostle Paul captures the essence of Jesus' divine nature. It goes like this. It's in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 15 through 20. Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. That baby was a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth through that baby. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he's the first in everything. This is so good to hear these words. This is so good. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, but it's so much for us today. Christ is the head of the church. Which is his body. He's the beginning and supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he's the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. That's what was in that manger. That was what was in that feeding trough. That was God in that manger who was going to bring reconciliation to the whole world. We celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas time because it helps us comprehend the amazing door that was opened for us during that time. It hit me the other day. We were in a prayer time back here. I think I shared this a couple weeks ago, but the word Christmas just was in front of my eyes, in my mind. My eyes were shut. I saw the word Christmas and realized again that Christ's name is in that. And I actually looked at the meaning of Christmas, and it actually means, the original meaning was Christ Mass. It meant Christ Mass. It was a celebration of Christ. Well, the word gospel, which is really the key to all that, I mean, if you read through the whole Bible, you'll find the gospel in every book of the Bible. It's there in every book of the Bible. The gospel is the good news, right? Gospel is, that means good news. But it's interesting how, if you look in the, like if you look in the Bible and say, where does the Bible talk about the gospel? What is the gospel according to the Bible? What is the gospel? It's hard to find one verse or one statement that is all-inclusive about what the gospel is. It's sprinkled everywhere in the Bible. I think that's by design. Sometimes the Lord's Prayer can throw us off because we think it's his only prayer. You know, we think that's his favorite prayer because it's written in the Bible. That's the only prayer that's written that way in the Bible. And so when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, well, this is how you pray. I'm glad that the gospel isn't spelled out exactly in the Bible because it's everywhere when you look through it. That word gospel, the Greek word for the word gospel is evangelion. That's actually where the name evangel comes from, is the proclamation of the gospel is the evangel. Not too many people know that because it's an old English term. The proclamation, in fact, as in the manger scenes, the creche, they a lot of times have an angel blowing a trumpet over at the arch at the top of the manger scene. The sound that comes out of the trumpet is called the evangel. It's the proclamation of the gospel. And it's always been my belief that it's in our DNA, and at some point we're going to find ourselves walking that out in ways that will just blow us away. And we'll think back and go, oh, that's why you called us evangel, Lord. That's why you named this church evangel. I mean, just like when you name your child, a lot of times that name, the meaning behind that name seems to play itself out in that child's life. I think it's going to happen with this body too. At some point in the future, we're going to find ourselves walking out evangelion, the evangel message, the gospel being proclaimed. It's really cool. So that's what it means in the New Testament. In order to have good news, though, you have to have bad news. Otherwise, it wouldn't be good news. And the bad news is really simple. The bad news is that the root of all sin is failing to live. The sin is the root of all evil. And what we're saved from, the good news, is that there's bad news and that's sin in the world. And the sin is actually what causes us to move away from God. The root of all sin is failing to give God the glory or loving anything else other than God. Refusing to give God glory is a prideful rebellion on our part, and it's ramping up in the world today, this refusal to give God glory. Søren Kierkegaard, the father of existential philosophy in a little book called The Sickness Unto Death, said this: sin is, in despair, not wanting to be oneself before God, despairing because you can't be yourself before God. Faith is the self in being itself and wanting to be itself, grounded transparency in God. So faith is the self in being itself, wanting to be itself, grounded in transparency in God. Sin is seeking our identity apart from God, while the antithesis of that, faith, is finding our identity in God. So what we got saved from was seeking our identity apart from him. What we get saved into is finding our identity in Jesus. And we complicate it so much, and we make it so difficult. But the good news is really how it reveals how God made us, how God created us, what he made us for. The good news begins and ends in faith. It doesn't start with sin. The good news isn't about sin. The good news is about faith, believing God and believing who we are in him. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And like moving away from sin and counting their faith as what's the most important thing in their lives. So the good news is when we trust in the grace, in God's grace to save us through what Jesus did. Our sins are forgiven. We get the reason for living and we're promised a future in heaven. And that really is important. That whole part about heaven. A lot of times we'll leave eternity out of the gospel. We'll just think that the gospel is all about getting set free from sin. And so we're no longer sinners. We've been set free. But the gospel is unto something. The gospel is moving us towards something. And it's really important what it's moving us toward. Friendship with God is possible because of God's grace. That's how we can be friends of God. I love this. I read this somewhere this last couple days. The only thing that will matter at the judgment is this. Did you accept Jesus, what Jesus did for you? And did you learn to love him and trust him? At the end, that's all that's going to matter. Is did you accept what Jesus did for you? And did you learn to love him and trust him? When you look at the gospel, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And I just wrote down a couple ideas that some people have. Like Rick Warren from Saddleback describes the gospel this way. And I like it because it's in plain English. He said, the good news is when you trust God's grace to save us through what Jesus did, our sins are forgiven, we get a reason for living, and a promised future in heaven. That's the gospel. According to John Piper, the gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for our sins, rose again, eternally triumphant over all his enemies, so that there is now no condemnation for those who believe, only everlasting joy. Tim Keller said this. He said it all boils down to this. Through the person and work of Jesus Christ, God fully accomplished salvation for us, rescuing us from judgment for sin into fellowship with him, and then restores creation in which we can enjoy a new life together with him forever. The Apostle Paul said this about the gospel. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. And he calls it his good news. Paul takes it and makes it his own. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It's the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Which is a pretty good encapsulation of a lot of the truth that's being put out in front of people right now. It was never true in the first place. A lot of the things that become laws in our nation, that become trends in our nation, that become messages in our nation, were never true in the first place. That's not what Paul was talking about. He said, I passed on to you what was most important and what also had been passed on to me. Who passed it on to Paul? Yeah. Jesus himself passed it on to Paul. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. It's interesting that he points back to what was prophesied about Jesus. Christ died for our sins, just as it was prophesied. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. This is what Jesus said about the gospel. Jesus had words about the gospel. This is what Jesus said. He said, I must preach the good news. I must preach the gospel of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that's why I was sent. Jesus said he was sent to preach the gospel. The gospel was his message. So the gospel gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so what I'm asking you today is, I'm asking you to simply embrace the gospel that Jesus preached. The gospel that Jesus, the Son of God, the righteous one who died for our sins, was raised on the third day, triumphant over all his enemies, forgiveness of sins, which interestingly enough is what Josiah was referring to in communion. Forgiveness is at the very center of what we're talking about. Forgiveness of sins and the right standing of God to come freely from him alone by faith only. What I'm saying is let him be Lord of your life. It's interesting how we've made... hey, come on in, guys. It's interesting how we've made... believing in God the focus of Christianity. Believing in God is part of it, but it's not just believing in God, it's having a relationship with him. In the very beginning, when God created the earth, he created us humans for a relationship with him. And ever since then we've walked away. And what I want to say today is this. It's not just about believing in God. It's about having a relationship with him. It's about knowing him. Jesus revealed that really clearly when he came. It was not just about believing in him. It was about knowing him. And if you've never got to that place where you have really had a relationship, I mean, sometimes we say that so much that I think that we forget what we're saying. We forget that we're talking about relationship with God. If you've never gotten to that place where you really have a relationship with him, I just invite you today to receive him. To receive him as your friend, to receive him as your Lord, to let him have your life. In fact, I plead with you, don't try to do this in your own strength. You will fail every time if you try to do this in your own strength. If all it is performing, if all it is being good, you're going to fail. You need God to love God. You need God to have a relationship with God. You need the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I invite you today to give your heart to Jesus. I mean, it's Christmas. It's all about what he did. The gospel is all about what he did. The gospel isn't about what we've done to deserve his love. The gospel is what he's done. And so these guys will sing songs, we'll celebrate, next week we'll get together and be together as a church again. And my invitation to you is, don't let another day go by without reconciling this thing with you in your heart. Is it just that I believe God, or do I really have a relationship with him? Because I guarantee you, God wants to have a relationship with you today. He really does. So if you just close your eyes, I just want to pray. Lord, you've given us an amazing invitation into your life, into your world. And we don't want to go another day separated from you in any way. I know people, so many people who say they believe in God and they don't feel close to him. They don't feel like he's close to them. And the reality is you have to take him up on the offer that he's given you. You have to give him your heart. You have to let him be Lord of your life, calling the shots, leading you and directing you, empowering you with this Holy Spirit. None of us can do this on our own. It's not about going to church, and it's not about living a perfect life. It's about a relationship with Jesus. That baby that came on Christmas morning was God. And that same God is the one who's inviting you back into relationship with him. You were created for this. You were born to have a relationship with Jesus. So I just encourage you to give him your heart today. Amen.